Last week, we just stepped into chapter 19. So start from the beginning of chapter 19 again. So chapter 19 is on purification by overcoming doubt. So after the meditator has seen nama and rupa, mind and matter clearly, and knows that there is only mind and matter and nothing else, and to be called person or self or whatever, he must try to see the causes and conditions of mind and matter. So this chapter deals with seeing causes and conditions of mind and matter. So it is described in a detailed manner. Now, the scheme of this chapter is better stated on this sheet. So if you look at this sheet first and then study this chapter, I think it will be easier to understand, easier to follow the sequence. So first, the yogi seeks to see the causes and conditions of nama and rupa. So paragraph 1, 2, and 3. And then he seeks to see the causes and conditions of rupa, paragraph 4. And then seeks to see the conditions of nama, so paragraph 5. And after seeing the causes and conditions of nama and rupa, there is what is called induction or inference. And then after inference comes the abandonment of doubt, or say, overcoming doubt. And 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 ways of seeing the causes and conditions of nama and rupa are described in this chapter. So they are given Roman numbers. The second is the one who sees conditions of nama in two ways, by general conditions and by particular conditions. And then he seeks to see conditions of rupa, which are karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutriment. There are four causes of matter or rupa: karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutriment. And then there is induction, and then abandonment of doubt. And then the third one sees conditions of nama and rupa by reverse order of dependent origination. Now, when we talk about the direct order or reverse order, there are two kinds of direct orders or reverse order. Normally, we would think that reverse order means the starting from the end and going backward to the beginning. And here it is what is meant, that the reverse order. Normally, the reverse order of dependent origination means the cessation of the mental formations and so on. That is called reverse order in other respects. But here in this chapter, reverse order means beginning with the end of, or the last link or member of the dependent origination, and then going backwards. So by going backward, or the reverse order of dependent origination, the yogi sees or tries to see the conditions of nama and rupa. And then there is induction, and then abandonment of doubt. The induction and abandonment of doubt may not be the stated again in the succeeding paragraphs, but since it is the order to be taken, I put them here also: induction and abandonment of doubt. And then the next one sees conditions of nama and rupa by direct order. That means starting from the beginning and going to the end. And then induction and abandonment of doubt. And the fifth one sees conditions of nama and rupa by round of karma and round of karma result. Do you remember that round of karma and round of karma result? In the chapter on dependent origination, let me see that there are mentioned these two, the three rounds there, on page 672, beginning with paragraph 298, or just 298. Yeah. Round of karma, round of defilement, and round of result. There are three rounds mentioned there. So here, the yogi takes two rounds, round of karma. That means the karma and round of karma result. That means the result. And then there is induction, in connection with that, there are classifications of karma which are important for the students of Abhidhamma or for students of Buddhism. So, the different kinds of karma or classifications of karma are mentioned in that section. And then there is induction and abandonment of doubt. And after these come, what is the right view? So right view is seeing just the cause and effect, and there is no cause and effect, and there is no effect in cause, and so on. And then that means purification by overcoming of doubt. And the last is lesser string enterer. That means if one possesses this knowledge, if one has overcome doubt by having the right view through discerning causes and conditions of nama and rupa, one is called a lesser stream enterer, a not real stream enterer, but a lesser stream enterer, because he is like, or he resembles the stream enterer. So this is the gist of this chapter. Now, I think we have finished chapter 10, right? Last week. So now, the discerning of conditions of nama and rupa by reverse order of dependent origination. So that is the paragraph 11. Another, when he has seen that the formations called mentality, materiality arrive at aging, and that those that have aged dissolve, discerns mentality, materiality's conditions by means of dependent origination in three reverse order in this way. So here he sees the aging and death of formations and conditioned things. So from that he goes backward until he reaches the beginning of this chain of dependent origination. So there, we should make some changes. We will make some changes there. So this is called the aging and death of formations. So we will change this to what? What is called the aging and death of formations? And then we will rub out the semicolon and the word it. So the reading should be, what is called the aging and death of formations comes to be when there is birth. So when there is birth, what is called aging and death comes to be. And when there is and birth comes to be when there is becoming, and becoming comes to be when there is clinging, and so on. He goes backward. So, and consciousness when there are formations, and formations when there is ignorance. Then this uncertainty is abandoned. Here also the induction must come. Just as this dependent origination is caused by conditions, so will be so was the links in the past, and so will be the links in the future. So he induces like this, and then he abandons uncertainty or doubt with regard to mind and matter. Now, let's go back to the footnote on page 695. Did you read that footnote? I'm sure you did. But that's very, very strange sentence. So I'll read all. If the fruit were to arise from present karma, the fruit would have arisen in the same moment in which the karma was being accumulated. And that is not seen, nor is it desirable. So karma and the fruit are different things. So if the fruit were to arise from present karma, then fruit and karma would arise at the same time. And it is not seen or it is not desirable. For in the world, that is among non-Buddhists, now we shall strike out all these words, that is among non-Buddhists. Now, the word loka in Pali can mean anything. I mean, its meaning is the world, and the world sometimes means outside Buddhists, outside Buddhism, but not here. Here, just in the world. So in the world, karma has never been seen, not shown, never been seen to give fruit while it is actually being affected. So here, loka means just the world in general. So in the world, karma has never been seen to give fruit while it is actually being affected. Nor is there any text to that effect. So there are no texts, no words of the Buddha to support it. Then the other person asks, but is it not also the fact that no fruit has ever been shown to come from a vanished cause either? Or even a cock to crow because of that? You understand that second?
No.
What's that? Even a cock to crow because of that?
From a vanished cause. And a cock crow from a vanished cause.
Now, the author misunderstood. Or he didn't get the correct reading there. And in the Burmese edition of the I don't think there is correct reading. So what I think to be correct reading is a little different. And I think it is supported by the later statement about the simile. Now, what we should understand from this is no fruit has ever been shown to come from a vanished cause. That is, is it not the fact that a fruit arising from a vanished cause, like a dead cock crowing, is not seen? So, or even a cock to crow because of that should be changed to something like a dead cock crowing. So a dead cock doesn't crow. So if the result were to come from the vanished cause, then a dead cock can crow, something like that. So this is the argument of the other person. So, but is it not also the fact that no fruit has ever been shown to come from a vanished cause either? Like a dead cock crowing. Then the answer is, certainly it has not been shown where the connectedness of material things is broken off. But the simile does not apply. So if there is to be a simile, there must be a simile. So the dead cock, there being no dead cock crowing, is a simile. So this simile does not apply here, because There is connectedness of immaterial things here. That means because this is mentality, this is, he's talking about karma. So karma is not matter, karma is mental. And there is a connectedness or continuity of consciousness going on even from one life to another. So the simile does not apply here. The simile, this simile is to be applied only when there is disconnectedness of something. That means when the cock dies, then the material things or material particles just are disrupted. So we are now talking about mind and not matter. And so mind has the continuity from one life to another. I mean, one type of consciousness arising after another type of consciousness that is going on and on and on. For when the fruit arises from karma that is actually past, it does so because of karma having been performed and because of storage, something like stored. And then there's a Buddha saying, for this is said, because profitable sense fear karma has been performed, stored up, there comes to be eye consciousness and so on. And then, since consciousness has sufficient power only at the instant of its arising, with the acquisition of proximity condition, etc., it therefore only gives rise to materiality while it is arising. Now, this is this explanation is for the karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutriment, the mentioned in paragraph 9. So karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutriment constitute this fourfold condition for materiality beginning with karma. Herein, it is only when it is past that karma is a condition for karma-originated materiality. So we are going backward. But this is important. Now, karma produces result, right? And then citta is also a condition for some results, temperature also, and nutriment also. But they are, when they produce results, they produce at different moments, and it is important to understand that. Now, karma. It is only when it is past that karma is conditioned for karma-originated materiality. So, there is karma-born materiality here, and this is caused by the karma in the past. So, when we say this materiality is caused by karma, we mean that karma was done in the past. And then consciousness is a condition when it is arising for consciousness-originated materiality. Now, consciousness causes matter. There are material properties caused by or originated by consciousness. And consciousness originates matter when it is arising. Now, there are three moments, three sub-moments in one moment, right? Arising, continuing, and disappearing. So here, consciousness is powerful or strong at the moment of arising, the first moment. So it originates rupa, it originates materiality at the moment of arising, not at the moment of continuation, or here it is used presence, not at the moment of presence, and not at the moment of dissolution. And temperature and nutriment are conditions at the instant of their presence for temperature-originated and nutriment-originated materiality. Now, temperature also originates matter. And it originates matter only at the instant of its presence. That means matter is said to be strong at the moment of presence or the continuation, the second sub-moment. So only when matter reaches the second sub-moment can it produce results, I mean can it originate the other kind of matter. Nutriment also, because nutriment is also matter, so nutriment also originates the material properties only when it reaches the stage of presence or the second sub-moment. So this should be understood. Karma is the past, right? And then consciousness. Consciousness produces at the moment of what? Arising, the first sub-moment. And temperature, it's moment of presence. That means second moment. And nutriment also, the second moment. Right? We'll come to that later also. So this should be understood clearly. Okay, now we go to dependent origination. So dependent origination reverse order, and then there is induction, and then abandonment of doubt. And the next is the dependent origination in direct order, that means from the beginning to the end. So another descends mentality, materiality, conditions by means of dependent origination in direct order as already shown in detail, doing so in this way. So with ignorance as condition, there are formations and so on. And then there is induction, and then there is abandonment of uncertainty. So these steps must go in for every person here. And then the next one is to discern mentality, materiality, conditions by means of round of karma and round of karma results. So round of karma and round of karma result. If you go back to the chapter on dependent origination. Round of karma means what? Formations and becoming are round of karma, right? Ignorance, craving and clinging are round of defilement. Consciousness, mentality, materiality, sixfold base, contact and feeling are the round of result. So here he takes round of karma and round of karma result, and then try to find the causes and conditions of mind and matter. So in the previous karma process becoming, there is delusion, which is ignorance. There is accumulation, which is formation, sankhara. There is attachment, which is craving. There is embracing, which is clinging. There is volition, which is becoming. Thus, these five things in the previous karma process becoming are conditions for rebirth linking here in the present becoming and so on. So with reference to round of karma and round of karma results, he tries to see the conditions of mind and matter, or mentality and materiality. So with in connection with karma and karma results, the author gives different classifications of karma. So we go to chapter 14. Here karma is fourfold: to be experienced here and now, to be experienced on rebirth, to be experienced in some subsequent becoming, and lapsed karma. So in this classification there are four kinds of karma. One is whose results are to be experienced in this very life. And the second is whose results are to be experienced in the next life. And the third is whose results are to be experienced in later, say, following lives. And then the last one is just lapsed karma, that means defunct. So there are four kinds of karma. Now one, of these the volition, either profitable or unprofitable, of the first of the seven impulsion consciousnesses in a single cognitive series of impulsions is called karma to be experienced here and now. It gives its results in this self, in this same selfhood, that means in this life. sometimes the other wants to be very literal. So the Bali word atta bhava, atta means self and bhava means being or nature, so he translated as food, selfhood. I don't understand what selfhood is. So that means the karma which gives results in this very life. And you know karma is a volition, right? And in one cognitive series or one thought process, there are 7 jhavana moments, right? So the volition at the first jhavana moment is what is called the karma which gives results in this very life. Now we'll divide the 7 jhavanas into 3 groups. The first, the 7th, and then middle 5. So the first, the volition concomitant with the first jhavana moment is karma to be experienced here and now, karma which gives results in this life. So it gives its results in this life. But if it cannot do so, it is called lapse karma, according to the triad described thus and so on. So if it does not give result in this life, then it becomes defunct. It does not give results at all. Because if it must give results, it must give in this life. But if it does not or cannot give results in this life because of some obstacles, then it becomes defunct. It cannot give results. And also it is called lapsed karma. That means the karma has been but no results. So it just arose and then there is no result. And then the second one, the volition of the 7th impulsion that accomplishes its purpose is called karma to be experienced on rebirth. That means karma which give results in the next life. And that karma is volition concomitant with the 7th jhavana moment. It gives its result in the next selfhood. And if it cannot do so, it is called lapse karma again, in the way already described. The third, the volition of the 5 impulsions between these two is called karma to be experienced in some subsequent becoming. It gives its result in the future when it gets the opportunity, and however long the round of rebirth continues, it never becomes lapsed karma. So the third karma is the 7 of volition concomitant with the middle 5 jhavanas, from the 2nd to the 6th. So volition concomitant with these 5 moments of these 5 types of consciousness is called the karma to be experienced in some subsequent becoming. Now, with regard to some subsequent becoming, we must be very precise, because many people thought that this means beginning with next life. But if we take it to include next life, then there will be mixture of the 2 karmas. Now the first karma gives result in this life, and the second karma in the next life, and the third karma, if it gives result in the life beginning with next life, and there is the mixture of these karmas. So here, in some subsequent becoming means in future lives beginning with the life after next. So let us call this life the first life. The next life is second life. So the other lives are lives begin with third life. So the third karma gives results in life beginning with the third life. And that is clearly explained in the footnote. I mean, the footnote is actually the translation of it, of the commentary. So on page 697, to be experienced in some subsequent existence means karma, whose fruit is to be experienced in some successive selfhood other than either that here and now, that means other than this life, or next to that here and now. So other than this life or next life, that means beginning with one from next, one after next. It gives its result in the future when it gets the opportunity. So whenever it gets the opportunity, this karma will give results. And however long the round of rebirth continues, it never becomes less karma. So long as there is the continuity of samsara, we can expect to get the results of this type of karma. It will become less karma only when one becomes an arahant, and there is no more rebirth for one, then it will become less karma. Now, with regard to that, the footnote following is very unsatisfactory. And then I prepared a new footnote, which is still, well, maybe awkward, but I cannot help it. You have to make it more readable, but I want to be say accurate. So with regard to the first one, the karma giving result in this very life, what do you think? Is it wonderful or is it astounding that karma gives result in this life? But in our books it is said, oh, it's not much giving results in this life. Now there are stories, say a very poor man offered maybe a handful of food to the Buddha, and then as a result of that karma, he became rich in that life. So that is. Do you think that is great result? What if he is reborn as a deva? Compared with that, becoming rich in this life is not much, right? So actually, the karma that give results in future life is better or more powerful than the karma that give results in this life. And the karma that give results in this life must have fulfilled some conditions. So here, the volition at the first jhavana, giving its results in this very life, being powerful because of not being overpowered by opposition. Only when it is not overpowered by the opposite conditions or obstacles, and having acquired distinction by dint of particular conditions, and only when it gets favorable conditions, it is powerful, and only then can it give results. And being intense by dint of prior instigation, say, instigating oneself or by instigated by other people or other circumstances, it is called karma whose results are to be experienced in this life. So if it is overpowered by some opposition, it cannot give results. And if it does not get some conditions, it cannot give results, and so on. So the first karma which gives results in this life needs some very precise conditions or favorable conditions to give results. And this volition at the first jhavana, occurring in the powerful continuity of jhavanas in the way stated, is not, like the other two, the karma that looks beyond the lapse of the continuity that has arisen. That means that does not go beyond this life, and that looks to obtain an opportunity in life after the immediate future life. That means and those lives, because it occurs by way of doing favor or wrong to persons who possess distinguished qualities, and because it gives little fruits owing to not getting repetition condition. The first jhavana has no repetition condition, because it is the first. But the second, third, fourth, and so on has the repetition condition, because they are repeated. So the first one is, that is why the first one is not strong as second, not strong as third, and so on. So it gives little fruits owing to not getting repetition condition. Therefore, it gives only here in this life its fruits, which are a mere result in the course of life, not at rebirth, like a tender tree does mere flowers and not fruits. So giving a flower and giving a fruit is different. So it is so immature or so weak that it cannot give results it cannot give fruits as results. So just a flower, and then the flower dies. Now, because it occurs by way of doing favor or wrong to persons who possess distinguished qualities, that means in order for the karma to give results in this life, that karma must be done to persons who possess distinguished qualities, like offering to the Buddha himself, or like offering to an arahant who has just emerged from the attainment of from jhanas, something like that. And also doing wrong to a person, a very virtuous person, like attempting to kill the Buddha. So his cousin Devadatta was swallowed by the earth because he attempted to kill the Buddha. So something like that. Otherwise, it is not so strong or not so great as the other two kinds of karma. So that is what is meant by the footnote there. So this new footnote is also not so easy to understand. And then, with regard to karma giving results, explain or talk about karma, I always say that karma gives results when it gets favorable conditions. If it doesn't get favorable conditions, it will not give results. And these favorable conditions are mentioned here. Essentials of becoming and means, etc., like that. But it's also difficult to understand. Now, essentials of becoming really means the appearance of the person. And then a good effort, and also in which existence he was reborn, and also a favorable time. So only when the time is favorable, they can give results. A good time for good karma and a bad time for bad karma. So when karma gives results, it needs these favorable conditions also. Suppose there's a famine in the country. However good karma you had in the past, because it is a time of famine, you cannot get much. So you are past karma, good karma cannot give results here at this particular time, because it is time of general famine in the country, something like that. And then there are stories of some people who are born to kings and queens, but some people are born without a finger or whatever, and so they could not become kings and so on. So that is because of their appearance, of their essentials of existence. So even though there are good karmas and bad karma in the past, ready to give results, we need some conditions, favorable conditions for them. See, favorable conditions for bad karma means bad conditions, and favorable conditions for good karma means good conditions. So these karmas need these conditions also, say, to produce results. Okay, now these are the four kinds of a set of four kinds of karmas. Now another fourfold classification of karma is this: weighty karma, habitual karma, death threshold karma, and karma stored up by being performed. So another classification of karma into four kinds. So the first one is called weighty. When there is weighty and unweighty karma, the weightier, whether profitable or unprofitable, whether karma consisting in matricide, etc. So please add etc. there. That means killing one's mother, killing one's father, killing an arahant, wounding the Buddha, and causing schism in the Sangha. So matricide, etc. Or karma of the exalted spheres. That means mahagata, like rupa vajra and arupa vajra karma. Takes residence in ribbony. Now, weighty karma and unweighty karma. What is weighty karma? Now, if you look at the footnote, weighty karma is very reprehensible, unprofitable karma. That means akusala, very bad akusala karma. And very powerful, profitable karma. Very powerful kusala, wholesome. And here, weighty akusala karma means killing one's own mother and so on. And weighty kusala karma means the rupa vajra and arupa vajra kusala. Kusala pertaining to form sphere and formless sphere. So they are called weighty karma. So when there is weighty and unweighty, then weighty karma takes the precedence in ripening. So weighty karma gives results. Likewise, when there is habitual and unhabitual karma, so you know habitual karma, that is done habitually. The more habitual, whether consisting in good or bad conduct, takes precedence in ripening. So that is why we have to do wholesome karma as often as we can, so that it becomes habitual. So habitual karma takes precedence in ripening over, say, a non-habitual karma. And then the third is death threshold. Karma is death remembered at the time of death. For when a man near death can remember karma, he is born according to death. That means just before the moment of death, a person may remember his own past karma, or he may do some karma at that moment, and that karma is said to be called death threshold karma. That means karma done immediately before death, or remembered immediately before death. That is called death threshold karma, and this is also a very powerful karma in that it gives results in the next life. And the fourth karma is not included in the foregoing three kinds, that has been often repeated, is called karma stored up by being performed. This brings about rebirth linking if other kinds fail. So among these four, if there is weighty karma, then weighty karma give results. If there is no weighty karma, then the habitual karma give results. If there is no habitual and weighty karma, then death threshold karma give results. If there are no three karmas, then the last karma will give results. Now, those who have studied the manual of Vidama, do you see any how to call, anything inconsistent with that? Vidama students. Now, in the manual of Vidama, the order is not like this, right? Habitual, death threshold, I'm sorry, weighty, death-threshold, habitual, and a stored up samaya, right? So, many teachers believe that death-threshold karma give precedence in giving results over the habitual karma. You may have done kusala karma habitually in your life, but at the moment of death, if you had akusala karma, then that akusala karma will give results in the next life, immediate next life. There is a story of a man who was a hunter all through his life, and later in his old age, he was ordained as a monk, and he had a son who was an arahant. So when he was about to die, he saw signs of hell. So he screamed, and his son knew about that. So his son took him to a pagoda, to a shrine, and then gave him flowers to offer to the Buddha. So he offered flowers to the Buddha, and when he did that, karma, his vision changed to seeing celestial names and so on. And so he died with that kusala karma, and so he was reborn as a celestial being. So according to the commentators, the death threshold karma is very important, and that is why we try to create